form the basis for some discussion in the House at the House meeting in Singapore. I think that might be useful, and maybe a paper like that could frame the issues and, you know, specify whether are we talking about the role of the council or are we talking about governance of the GNSO. It could set out those different bylaw provisions that Marilyn referred to so everybody would have them in one place. So I just throw that out as a question to the people who've been engaged in this discussion, whether there would be interest in preparing such a paper, and then we would devote, you know, a chunk of time to actually discussing it at our next meeting.
I think it's a great idea. Others have a comment? Yes, Philip.
I agree with Steve's suggestion. I think that would be very, very helpful. I mean, is the debate that we want to have as much about defining the distinction between the roles of constituency, House, and council, where, in particular, perhaps the role of that middle body, the House, is the least well understood and most amorphous, if you like, in the bylaws, and to see and perhaps try to draw some distinctions there, which will perhaps give us greater focus of what we may believe a House should be doing in terms of separation. I mean, is that the nature of the debate that we want to have?
Any comments? I think that as part of the paper, that would probably be a good thing to you know, because you're right, that would be part of the puzzle. Any other comments on this? Any volunteers? I certainly something that I would volunteer to help with, and I expect Marilyn would volunteer to help with. No? I don't want to presume on your time, but would there be other, and Philip, would there be other people who are interested in participating in that effort? We can figure that out afterwards if anyone thinks of, you know, wanting to participate in that. And certainly I would think of this as being one of those paper that, you know, would be put on a wiki and perhaps set up so lots of people could interact with it once there was a first draft. So the three or however many people do a first draft and then move on from there to a collective bit of work, but we can talk about that. Yes.
It's Marilyn speaking. I think rather than thinking about this as a paper, I'd propose that we actually start out identifying the issues and questions. And so as an example, Philip referenced the term House. I think there may actually be a discussion about what is the role of the stakeholder groups in terms of its relationship to the multiple constituencies that may exist. You know, I think it's a set of questions. And then where should questions be sent, I think, might be an exercise. You know, should the COO send questions about the budget framework to the council, which primarily focuses on policy? Should it come? That's the kind of questions that I'm hoping we're going to get some more certainty on, because I think it helps improve the functioning of the SO in its ability to be influential and articulate within the ICANN governance process. So I'm looking as much, Aubrey, for what guidance would come out of that to improve how ICANN interacts with the GNSO and how the GNSO supporting organization interacts with ICANN, which is a broader question than just policy.
Right, and I think that's probably a good way to start the outline of the paper, but I feel that we've just now started working on the paper or whatever it is, the set of questions. It will probably be something that we can print on paper and people can look at and can be called a paper, whatever it is it has in it. And I think we've just started on that, so we should probably move to the next item since we're already at 9:30.
Yeah, I think I would suggest, unless there's any further discussion on this, why don't we move directly to the elections issue?
Okay.
If we can, we'll get back to the organizational priorities question.
Okay. So we had a committee, right?
Yes, we had a committee, but I'm not sure that the does the committee have who it was tasked
who was the committee
with? I know who some of the members were. I don't know if does the committee as a whole have any report to make? No. Okay.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
I need some more non-commercial support.
Wait, are we talking about...
We're still in the paper.
We're still in the paper. Right. Okay, now we're done with the paper. Now we're going to talk about the election.
That's what Julie just volunteered
okay.
to do.
Right. Okay, got it. All right. So in default of a report from the committee, and just to back up, this is a committee that was asked to come up with a process for the election that this House makes of a board member, and we now have a deadline of April 24th. So we don't have a report from that committee, but I think we do have a proposal that Marilyn would like to put forward, and I think she has some of it on paper, and she can. And I'd like to recognize her to present this proposal.
Okay. And I just wanted to point out that I had made a previous proposal to the collective, the chair's collective from the commercial stakeholder group. And it sent it to the policy committee here, but I did not print it on paper. So I'll only bring that in if it's in agreement or not.
Circulate it by email to meetings. So if you're a BC member, you should have this. Should you want?
Yeah, please go ahead
okay.
while it's passing around.
Okay. Think of this as a proposed process because this is just a proposal. There are certain assumptions in it. Let me walk through them. It assumes that we're going to meet the deadline. It assumes that there will be time for multiple rounds if necessary. Hopefully that won't be necessary, but if it is, then I did assume that we would need to take that into account. I start out with each stakeholder group nominate one candidate, and we can take questions as we go through it if you prefer. So each stakeholder group nominate one candidate. To win an election, the proposal is that a candidate must garner at least 8 votes, 2 of which must be from each stakeholder group. That means that hypothetically, if the NCSG put forward a candidate, that candidate would have to get 2 votes from the CSG and vice versa. It also assumes that the votes are cast by the GNSO council representatives along with the nominating committee appointee associated with the House. So that would assume a total of 13 voters, perhaps I call them 13 voters, 6 from the each of the 2 SGs plus the nominating committee appointee. The threshold number being 8, but 2 from each House. And I think somebody's better at math than I.
60% of those required.
Thanks. The announcement, we should open the nomination process shortly after the ICANN meeting, and the announcement of candidates for the ballot to be completed, and I'm just proposing dates, so please consider these flexible, April the 8th or some other date. Invite the candidates to submit a written statement, which is kind of customary, and hold a conference call at least
now,
one.
Hold on a second.
Sorry.
I want to make sure that Wendy and I...
Yeah, sorry. We got caught on an earlier problem.
Okay.
And started talking, trying to figure it out. No, sorry.
Each candidate would be... would provide a written statement. That's pretty customary, things we've done that in the past. And each stakeholder group could organize a conference call with the candidate. I propose that Rob Hogarth from the ICANN staff organize the calls for the stakeholder groups so that there's complete flexibility and neutrality in the scheduling and organizing. But that's just something that we're proposing because we prefer not to be trying to deal with, I'm proposing because I prefer not to be dealing with candidate schedules. There should be a discussion period within each of the SGs, and I proposed April the 8th to the 15th. So that would mean after people have heard from the candidates, after they've been able to read the statement, they would have a chance to talk among themselves and maybe even submit additional questions to the candidates. Distribute a ballot on April the 15th. That's a day that, at least if you live in the United States, you're aware of. Tax day. With a 4-day voting period. I proposed a short voting period because there are only 13 voters, and you know people may have trouble with that, but I was trying to figure out how to maximize the ability to have multiple rounds. We propose that, as usual, Glenda Saint-Jury, who's the GNSO Secretariat, conduct a closed ballot using email. She would then do the tally and announce the winner to the House and then to the Council and Board. And if no candidate wins in the first round, subsequent rounds would take place. And if we did, in the past, there has been a provision for, in a subsequent round, for an SG to change its candidate. If we do that, then we'd have to talk about how a new candidate would be able to submit a statement of interest, and Glenn would need to modify the ballot and send out the modified ballot. So that discussion would need to take place with Glenn, just making sure that she is prepared to do that. Complete the election then by, I think actually this proposed that the election would be done well before the 24th so that the announcement can be made to the board within the time frame required. Thanks.
Okay, Wendy.
So I have several questions, some of which are spurred by this option to change the nominee, and I wonder how that fits into the scheme of discussions and conference calls. Does it launch a new process that begins with at the conference call and written statement layer?
You know, Wendy, I put that in there because it has existed in previous nomination processes, and I would assume it would only happen if there's no winner on a first or second round. So it's an extraordinary measure, and if you notice, I said we'd have to work out how the process would change.
Christina, please identify yourself.
Oh,
also
sure.
For the
Christina Rosette, I have, I guess, three questions/comment. Am I correct in understanding that if we go to a second round, that the requirement of winning at least 8 votes to from the other stakeholder group is going to continue to apply? In other words, am I correct in understanding that we are not doing what we did for vice chair, namely a kind of the leading candidate versus not that person? I guess is the first question. Is that the plan?
That's in this proposal, it's that way. Certainly,
okay.
In the proposal I was making, no, it was following that same pattern.
Okay.
So, in other words, the
okay.
proposal that we were making, I believe that I had the support and CSG of making, is that we would follow exactly that same pattern of a candidate from each and then the prevailing candidate against none of the above. And then if none of the above won, well, yeah, then you really do need 2 new candidates.
Okay.
Because the candidates have both failed. So that was
okay.
The proposition, the proposal that we were making that I tend to favor over my first reading of this. Certainly.
Okay, and I guess that is helpful. And I guess the next thought I would have is just speaking personally for a 4-day voting period that starts on that day is going to be very difficult for me. So I don't know if we could perhaps start it a little earlier. Just to ensure that I can actually vote. And third, I understand the reasoning behind having the option to change a nominee, but I guess my question is that if we do that, it seems to me that it may be appropriate to limit, to have a broader nomination period at the beginning so that any subsequent nominee is somebody who has previously been introduced, because given the time frame, I don't think we're going to have the flexibility at that point to kind of go back to the whole, you know, written statement process. It's going to, you will have to draw from the existing pool. And so it may be that the existing pool of initial candidates is broader than just one from each house. Just something to think about.
Okay. I think Wendy still had some questions.
Okay,
I'm
yes,
sorry.
I'll
recognized her out of order. So let me ask Wendy, let's take a cue if there are others that have questions. Okay. Mary, Philip, Aisha. Wendy, go ahead.
Yeah, I've just asked Avery to put her proposal up on the screen so that we can have that as a reference, because I would recommend that we start out with, I think starting with a pool of candidates is a good one, and let everybody engage in the discussions and then be sort of narrow the field as we go to a candidate or candidates. I think that doing it in rounds of
multiple candidates to the leader against none of the above sounds like a good way to bring the process toward consensus rather than reintroducing new people into the process. And
it's almost done.
Just to clarify, Wendy, what I was thinking is that potentially you could have 6 or 7 candidates total from the House, and that ultimately, at least before we get to before the balloting, that you would have to have each stakeholder group indicate who its nominee for that round would be. Because I just am concerned, I think timing-wise, we may not have time to do multiple rounds of voting. To try and go from a pool of 8 to ultimately 2. So I was thinking, say, 6 candidates self-nominate. By the time of the first ballot, each stakeholder group has to support one. If it turns out that no one wins that, then the stakeholder group, if it wants to, can go back to the broader pool of candidates, but it has to be from that broader pool. I'm just thinking timing-wise.
Yeah,
we just don't have more time.
So another option to throw into the mix is to use a preferential voting system that where we rank votes and condense the multiple rounds into one, that if as we rank the candidates, they sort themselves into the result that we would otherwise achieve by multiple rounds. I'm not sure that we gain by having each stakeholder group endorse a candidate because we have 2 stakeholder groups. Each of them has 50% minus one person who comes from the nominating committee. And I don't know what we gain by forcing a candidate to come from a from whatever we're calling these things, a stakeholder group, and then to broaden his or her appeal to the entire population here. Why can't we?
So that's a third proposal yet again.
Yes.
Okay.
So Avery has put up on the screen her proposal. So do you want to just
I'll go through quickly, and then I'll try to make it bigger. I can't do both at the same time. I had had a step A that had an incumbent election of basically Rita against none of the above and figuring it, you know, if but I've been told by so many people that they don't believe that Rita wants to run, and I've also been told by many people that they hated the idea of the incumbent election, that I've just dropped it off the proposal at the beginning. You know, I thought it was the easiest, but anyway. So then basically this follows the pattern that we followed for a basic pattern for the vice chair is that each of the 2 stakeholder groups proposes a candidate, 8 wins, and I have John and then Kyle.
3 others in the queue.
Okay, you've got a queue, so you had John in your queue because I had John in my queue, and you might as well add Carlos, and then we just keep one queue, and cool. And then it was 8. It was a flat 8. It was not an 8, but there have to be 2 from one constituency or 2 from one stakeholder group. It was just a flat 8. And then if none of them got 8, then the prevailing candidate went. If the prevailing candidate lost to none of the above, then people really did have to pick 2 new candidates and go on. So that was the proposal I put in. And give you back the list.
Okay, thank you. So we have a queue, and I think questions are open on either proposal. And I have Mary, Philip, Aisha, John, Carlos. Did anybody else want to get in the queue?
Wolf.
Okay. So let's start with Mary.
Thanks, Stephen. Actually, this wasn't so much about the process, but going back to the dates issue, because April 24th is Easter week, and that might be a problem for some people. So if we're going to do the multiple rounds, whichever process we choose, then I do think we need to either move up the voting period, as Christina has suggested, or find a streamlined process.
Thank you. I will say April 24th is the one date we don't have any control over because that's the bylaws date. Philip.
You know, I find myself pinching myself slightly as I'm saying I'd like to agree with Wendy. In that I was slightly, because we're choosing a board candidate who is supposed to represent the organization as opposed to us, I define it slightly strange that we were starting the process with a one candidate from one side, one candidate from the other, which just struck me philosophically as wrong. If we're going for the concept of a pool of candidates and we believe that indeed throughout an election process we want to somehow express preferences to that pool, given the timetable, then I suspect a preferential voting system seems to be the most logical outcome. And again, that's sort of really hard for me to say, but it just seems to be practical in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. Aisha.
Thank you. I was going to bring up the timing issue that Mary has brought up, and I also think that the proposition of a preferential voting system might be something to consider going forward. And I was also wondering if we are leaving enough time for the election period, the discussion period, because we might want to consider who the candidates end up being and whether we can schedule all of those candidate teleconferences within the time period that we've allocated. So thanks.
Okay, John.
Clarification: ranked choice voting is the same as preferential voting system?
That's my assumption.
Okay,
the former resident of Cambridge, Massachusetts, I like the preferential voting system.
Think she's made an official response yet, so there's been lots of private
company. Can we send an emissary to ask her?
With all due respect, I have had informal conversations with her, and it's my understanding that she is not interested in running again. And to be perfectly candid, I will, of course, vote the will of the constituency, but after her performance in Brussels, I would have some very difficult issues doing that.
Well, John, I suggest you ask her then. Okay. Carlos, and if you'll report back to us if she says anything different than what she's told others around this table, which is that she's not running, then you'll let us know.
Sure.
Thank you. Carlos, Wolf, and then somebody else wanted to be recognized, I think. Bill? No? Okay, Carlos.
Thank you. Carlos Ayora speaking. An hypothetical situation. What happened if only two candidates tie, and how many rounds do you accept if anyone achieves one vote more?
You're right. The only way a tie can happen is if everyone that's entitled to vote doesn't vote. Because we have 13 votes, so you're right. The presumption has been that all of our council members will do their duty and vote, and that we didn't add an abstain to allow them to vote for no one, for none of the above.
Aubrey,
so.
I think at least under A and B, under the two of the three proposals up there, that can't happen because you have to get 8 votes. So with an electorate of 13, you might fall short of 8,
right,
but you won't tie.
Right. As I was saying, the only way you tie is if somebody doesn't vote.
But in that case, neither candidate would qualify anyway, because neither of them would have gotten 8 votes. So.
You'd keep having a round of those two against each other becomes the question. How often?
Now, in a preferential voting system, I suppose it's theoretically possible you could have a tie.
So we've got less than 15 minutes. We really have to come out of this room with a system. At least, or not. Perhaps we've got more time. I don't know.
Let's complete our queue, which is Wolf and Marilyn, and then see where we are.
I have a doubt here. Preferential voting means exactly what?
This is Jamie, and I have a doubt that I would like to be. Preferential voting means exactly what?
Wendy, can you define?
while we would have to choose a particular system, by preferential voting, I mean each voter ranks the candidates 1 through N, and those rankings are used to determine which candidate satisfies the preferences of most voters.
Thank you.
Wolf.
Yeah, thank you, Wolf, Olicknow speaking. Just understood that, so I'm not in favor of that, really saying that. But my timing is one critical, so I would say, and the other one is, you know, from my experience with the council elections for chair and vice chair, I'm satisfied with that, but we did. So this type of election with the chair and vice chair, that means finding the one who gets the most votes in the first or second or whatever round, so he would count against nobody else. And yes, okay, that's my preference.
Marilyn, and then we need to assess where we are and what our next steps are.
Yeah, I have two comments. One is I don't support the preferential voting approach. I have seen it used, and I think it can either be gamed or it's very complicated to prevent that. So that was my first comment. My second comment is I think we need to spare 2 minutes to say if we don't come to an agreement on a procedure this morning, then we need to set aside another gathering of some representative group to take the work further and try to conclude it in the next 24 to 48 hours.
Okay, thank you. So that's a proposal for next steps. It seems clear to me. We have three proposals on the table now, I guess. We have Marilyn's proposal, Avery's proposal, and Wendy's proposal. We've had a lot of statements pro and con on all three of these. So I'm not sure that I don't think we're going to be able to resolve this in the next 5 minutes. So I wonder if we could again constitute a group that will work on this over the next 24 or 48 hours, and then we can either by email or if necessary we can get together in person just to try to ratify or not what they've come up with. So I guess my suggestion is a two-step process. One is, let's say, three delegates from each stakeholder group, and then trying to set a time when, if necessary, we can meet again face-to-face to try to wrap this up. That's my suggestion.
Yeah, I think it's probably a good suggestion. I would recommend that out of the three from each group, those who have proposed something probably want to be involved. So
well, that would... That would leave us with one more on the
NCSG and two on the
and Steve CSG. Had a comment, I think.
Steve Del Bianco, Article 6 of the bylaws does lay out six specific criteria that has to be sought when we try to elect a board member, whether it's nominating committee or SO. And the criteria are quite detailed. And of course, the ATRT review team went into it. I think it argues for the broadest possible set of candidates so that we can find the candidate whose characteristics closely match this list of six in the bylaws. It's too tough to try to find all that in just one person, so we're going to have to look at people and say they have most of the qualities necessary.
So you're arguing for one aspect of the pool, and I think what's going to happen is all these things are going to go into a bucket. Were you also volunteering to be one of the... I mean, I don't know.
Aubrey, I think what I would prefer we do, Steve, is that the CSG huddle and decide who our three candidates are, if that's okay, please.
Okay, so we will do that, and you will do that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Carlos.
I think there are only two items to be decided. The first one is a pool or one nominee for each SG, and I think by the that the pool wins, or is anybody in favor of only one candidate of each SG? Oh, okay. So.
Yeah, but
know that that people are ready to, as it were, vote on it at this point. But
no, okay.
Yeah, but you're right. That is one of the determinations.
There is one person that is against. So okay.
Okay. Each side will come up with its team of three,
yeah.
Or fill out its team of three.
By noon.
By noon today, if possible. And I think, I don't know when people, we can look at the calendar as far as what time we would like to try to reserve for for reconvening if necessary. I suppose late Tuesday afternoon might be a possibility, but...
with everything that's going on Tuesday?
Well, everything's going on every day, so I'm not sure there's ever going to be a good time. But we'll figure
right.
that out.
And perhaps, I mean, if the six come up with something before Tuesday morning, and then Tuesday morning it can be gone over in all of the separate meetings, and then
right.
only if there's we don't buy what you six did issue,
well,
do we really have to get together if all the...
Of course, some of the separate meetings aren't even happening because of the schedule disruption. So,
okay.
we'll do our best. So we will... Avery and I will exchange lists by midday today, and that team will be tasked to come up with an equitable, fair, and balanced solution that everyone will agree to. And we'll get that ratified before we leave San Francisco. That's easy. Okay, it's now 1 minute till 10. And,
No, you're right, two of.
Okay, well, I mean, everybody has their own time zone
yeah,
here.
But we have the other group
waiting. Okay, so unless there are any other, I think we'll have to forego anything else on the agenda, and unless there's any other comments, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. We got more done.